This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 329.5, up 4. March corn, 342.25, up 4. May corn, 350.75, up 4. November soybeans, 936.75, up 1/2. January soybeans, 945.25, up 1.5. March soybeans, 952.5, up 1.5. December wheat, 480.25, up 4.25. March wheat, 492.25, up 4. May wheat, 501, up 4.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Wednesday afternoon. Technical buying helped to push corn and soybeans off their contract lows. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly steady to 4 cents higher at $2.57 to $2.99. Soybean bids mostly a penny higher, range from $8.87 to $9.12. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly steady to 4 cents stronger at $2.86 to $3.01. While soybean bids were mostly steady to a penny higher at $8.99 to $9.27. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at $2.77 to $3.13. Soybean bids down 3 to 7 cents at $8.93 to $9.33, and the wheat bids mostly 4 cents higher on Wednesday at $2.96 to $4.10. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 20 cents lower on Wednesday at $9.17 to $9.47. Basis steady to 20 cents lower, ranging from 20 under to 10 over November. 48% high pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $3.66.40 to $4.38.40 per ton. That's down $67.70 to $110.70, with basis $67 to $110 lower. That basis is 50 over to 122 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended mixed at $3 to $3.15, with basis steady to 5 cents lower at 30 under to 15 under December. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents higher at $2.76 to $2.98, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 32 to 54 under December. Soybean bids dropped 20 to 28 cents at $8.87 to $9.07, with basis down 20 to 28 cents, ranging from 50 under to 30 under November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 7 lower at $2.93 to $3 even. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 9 to 21 cents, with quotations at $9.28 to $9.29. Soft red winter wheat sharply lower at $3.30 to $3.35, and the Milo ended mixed at $3.05 to $3.09. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from $2.85 up to $3.19. Jan soybeans $9.15 to $9.43. In central Illinois, January delivered corn at $2.97 to $3.25. Jan beans at $9.13 to $9.60. And in the southern part of the state, Jan corn $3.12 up to $3.27, with the January delivered soybeans ranging from $9.35 up to $9.70. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 155.32, down 12 cents. December live cattle, 158.77, up 5 cents. February live cattle, 159.50, down 40 cents. September feeder cattle, 231.07, up 17 cents. October feeder cattle, 230.40, up 25 cents. November feeder cattle, 228.80, up 27 cents. October lean hogs, 107.45, down 42 cents. December lean hogs, 95.20, down 5 cents. February lean hogs, 90.95, down 10 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.26 higher on Wednesday in a range of $96 up to $108, with a weighted average carcass price of $105.66. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report this morning, sows were trading $1 to $2 lower. The U.S. grade 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $45 to $50. 4 to 5 weights traded at $47 to $53. 5 to 6 weight sows sold at $50 to $54. And heavyweight sows over 600 pounds sold at $54 to $57. On the Illinois Direct Hog trade on Wednesday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points trading steady to a dollar higher, with live bids ranging from $68 to $73. And receipts for Illinois hogs today, direct to the packer, that totaled $25,133. In the livestock trading in Illinois on Wednesday, the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction, early estimated receipts for the auction totaled 693 head. And compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading steady in a light test, with the slaughter Holsteins $1.50. Choice slaughter steers traded in a range of $154 to $157.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers $144 to $150.50. And the choice slaughter heifers traded at $153.50 up to $157. Also, a short recap of the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, Illinois on Tuesday. Receipts for that auction totaled 443 head, and compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 lower, and the slaughter Holstein steers were steady to 50 cents higher. Choice slaughter steers sold at $154 up to $159. Choice slaughter Holstein steers $146 to $154, and the choice slaughter heifers sold at $155 to $159.50. Also, a short recap of the Fairview Sale Barn Auction at Fairview, Illinois on Tuesday. Receipts totaled 282 head, and compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers sold $3 lower. Choice slaughter steers sold in a range of $148 to $156 and a quarter, and the choice slaughter heifers sold at $150 to $156 and a quarter. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report on Wednesday, heifers on a live basis traded at $154. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report on Wednesday, trading was established with 426 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $116.71, which was 71 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report on Wednesday, choice and select beef carcasses traded lower. Choice carcasses traded at $239.13, which was only 4 cents lower for the day, and select carcasses closed at $226.31, which was 98 cents lower. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection report today, cattle slaughter estimated at 114,000 head compared to 112 last week and 123,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter on Wednesday estimated a very large 421,000 head compared to 411 last week and 428,000 a year ago. That completes our livestock report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $2.80. October corn delivered to Greenfield, $2.71. September corn delivered to Scottville, $2.80. October corn delivered to Scottville, $2.71. September and October beans delivered to Greenfield, $8.84. September and October beans delivered to Scottville, $8.84. September wheat delivered to Scottville, $3.53. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $2.80. Beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $8.84, and wheat at Scottville is $3.53. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Thursday morning by Farm Credit Illinois. It's coming up on 6:20. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Harvest time is here, and as we approach the fall season, there will be an increase of farm equipment traveling on the roads. M&M Service Company works diligently with their farmers to ensure that the harvest season goes as smooth, productive, and safe as possible. To kick off the harvest season, M&M Service Company would like to invite all producers to their annual pork chop cookouts, which are held at various locations beginning September 29th and concludes October 15th. Contact your local M&M Service Company location to determine when they will be having their cookout and for all your grain marketing needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
For today, partly cloudy skies, the high temperature about 80 degrees with light and variable winds. Partly cloudy skies tonight, low temperatures in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high about 80. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers Sunday and Monday. Low temperatures in the low 60s, high temperatures in the upper 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is steady, and our temperature 53 degrees under mostly clear skies. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by the CHS Service Center of Louder and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh next.
Seavers JCB sells a complete line of construction equipment. Seavers JCB, a division of Seavers Equipment Company, sells the full line of JCB construction equipment. JCB is the third largest maker of construction equipment in the world. Backhoes, trackhoes, telehandlers, wheel loaders, forklifts, compaction equipment, and the new generation side entry skid steer, the world's safest skid steer. JCB also offers ag equipment. Contact Seavers JCB in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, or Auburn, or go to SeaversJCB.com. In Missouri, visit JCBofSTL.com.
At CHS, the producers are the owners. Your ownership reaches from the seed and fertilizer you use to the ethanol plants, rail loaders, and export houses they run on your behalf. CHS stands with you every step of the way from production to end user, creating a seamless stream for your production. At CHS, farmer-owned means more than a catchy phrase. It means they stand with you every step of the way. They measure their success by your success. CHS farmer-owned with global connections. CHS Louder Business Unit.
World Dairy Expo will be next week in Madison, Wisconsin. Janet Keller, communications manager with World Dairy Expo, says they once again expect huge attendance at this year's event.
The show starts Tuesday, September 30th and runs through October 4th here in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're expecting about 70,000 visitors from about 92 different countries. So it really is the meeting place for the entire dairy industry. Not only do we have the great cow show with about 2,500 head of cattle expected from across North America, but we'll have more than 850 companies exhibiting at our trade show.
New this year at World Dairy Expo will be two buildings called the New Holland Pavilion.
This will be a historical year now moving into the new cattle facilities that are all under two roofs, basically just under 7 acres. And they have all the great amenities like the positive air ventilation for the cattle and people and the bright lights and the showers and restrooms and concessions to make the visits much easier to find the cattle.
Designer cattle is the theme of this 48th annual World Dairy Expo that takes place next Tuesday through Saturday in Madison. It is apparent that this year's corn and soybean crops are going to be huge bumper crops. Some even say that it'll be the biggest harvest in the nation's history. Todd Gleason has more on how these crops will be used.
Field corn's used in just a few categories. It's fed to livestock, used to make fuel ethanol, and exported to other nations. Right now, USDA says about 1.7 billion of the more than 14 billion bushels of corn to be brought in by U.S. farmers this fall will go to other nations. This number is about 75 million bushels shy of the count USDA has found from last year, according to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
The USDA's weekly export sales report indicated that as of September 11th, 513 million bushels of U.S. corn had been sold for export during the current marketing year. That total is only 7 million bushels less than sales of a year earlier, even though sales to China are down by 122 million bushels. Sales are larger to Japan and several Western Hemisphere countries. Export inspections during the first 3.5 weeks of the marketing year were about twice as large as in the same period last year. The variation in the seasonal pattern of both export sales and shipments from year to year, however, means that early season activity is not always a good indicator of marketing year export demand. Still, the current pace of export activity is encouraging.
So encouraging, if not truly good news, on the export market front for corn. There is a similarly encouraging story for the amount of corn used to make ethanol in the United States.
Ethanol production in the first half of September was about 10% larger than production of a year earlier, but stocks also increased to an 18-month high.
Production was up. However, it was not being used up as quickly as it was produced. It could be just a short-term stockpile or the beginnings of an ethanol glut. And so we come to the largest consumption category for corn. It is used to feed livestock.
The USDA has projected marketing year feed and residual use of corn at 5.325 billion bushels, 150 million bushels larger than the current forecast of last year's consumption. Indicators of feed and residual use of corn are limited, and forming expectations about use is made difficult by the varying magnitude of residual use from year to year. Still, livestock numbers are monitored, along with the price relationship of various feed ingredients, to gauge prospects for underlying feed demand for corn. The most recent USDA reports reveal a modest year-over-year expansion of 1-2% in the number of broiler chicks placed on feed, an increase of about 0.5% in the number of dairy cows, and about a 1% fewer number of cattle on feed. The USDA's quarterly hogs and pigs report, to be released on September 26th, will be closely watched for any signs of expansion in the pork sector.
There isn't much good news in these consumption numbers. However, there isn't any bad news for the price of corn either, really. USDA will update the monthly supply and demand tables for corn at 11 a.m. Central Time Friday, October the 10th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
When people think of quilts, they typically think of the cozy blankets their grandmothers probably made them. But a new trend is sweeping across rural America, barn quilts. I spoke with barn quilt maker Sandy Carpenter.
A barn quilt is painted on MDO or signboard, and they can be 8x8 or 6x6 or 4x4 with a quilt block painted onto the board, and then the boards are hung on barns or corn cribs or agricultural buildings.
Carpenter has been making barn quilts since 2009 and is part of a group formed this past year dedicated to making these large wood representations of a single block on a quilt. As word got out about the barn quilts, the group found themselves very busy.
Our goal was to get 25 up, and we have almost 40 up.
The process of making these barn quilts all starts with choosing a design. This can potentially prove to be the most time-consuming process.
Picking your design is probably the hardest part. We have one book that has 5,500 different designs in it. Mostly we tell people we just have to be able to paint it, that if it's got too many small pieces, you know, when you're working on an 8-foot thing, you can't do a lot of distinct detail that can be seen far away, like from the road. So we just have to be a little bit careful of that. But other than that, pretty much anything that we can paint, we try.
Oftentimes, a design is chosen that represents something special about the farm or the family requesting the board.
You need 2 coats of primer on both sides, and then you draw the design to the board. And then you tape off one color, and you would paint the 3 coats. You pull the tape off, you'd tape the next, say if you had one that's 4 colors, you would do each of the colors taped off separately with the broad tape. They each need about 2-3 coats of good quality paint. We're using Sherman Williams, and they said it shouldn't fade or anything for about 30 years.
After the design is decided upon, Carpenter can start painting.
Many people either can tie it into their background, their roots, if they raise a certain kind of cattle or livestock or a pattern that goes with their name. The first one I put up the Ohio Star because I live in Ohio, Illinois. And then later I found one, the Carpenter Wheel, and last name is Carpenter, and the colors were good for our barn also.
Once the board is completed, it's hung up. Barn quilts that have already gone up around the country have already caused quite a stir, and there are even tours called Barn Quilt Trails, specifically set up to travel around the countryside admiring the quilt block boards. Carpenter said going on one of these tours in Wisconsin is what got her started in the barn quilt business.
I have always been a quilter and loved them very much, and I went on one of the barn quilt tours in Greene County that is associated with Tuesdays. And you saw how beautiful they were and how it really gives your rural area a boost. It brings a lot of people to the country, and hopefully they learned a little bit about agriculture. And so often when people put the barn quilt up, then they fix the barn up instead of letting it fall apart and taking it down. So it's kind of a twofold purpose there.
Since the very first barn quilt went up, the barn quilt movement has grown to reach 45 states.
I met the lady who started the original trail. Her name was Donna Sue Groves. She did it as a tribute to her mother, who had breast cancer, the very first one. And a lady who was traveling there asked her, does anyone ever document all of these trails? And she goes, I don't think so. And her name was Susie Parzon. And she goes, I'm going to do that. And she went all over the country and wrote her first book, Barn Quilts and the American Quilt Trail Movement. And she has a second book coming out sometime in September with all that have gone up since then. The first one was, 20 quilts that started the trail. And now it's in at least 45 states. And I know there's over 6,000 different trails across the country. So I don't know how many more are since then, but it's really a great thing to be a part of.
One of the nearest barn quilt trails to our area is in Calhoun County. For more information on that trail, you can contact the Barn Quilt Project at P.O. Box 176, Hardin, Illinois, or go to visitcentralillinois.com. For more information on barn quilts in general, you can visit barnquiltinfo.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.